Welcome to Switzerland in Sound, produced and presented by Bob Zanotti.
One of the most irritating and revolting manifestations of today's get-rich-quick, screw-the-consumer notion of economics is the phenomenon of the value-added telephone number. Basically, this is a telecommunication invention that is a veritable cash cow for businesses large and small, who have now found out a way to make you pay for what used to be considered a free service. In Switzerland, value-added numbers are the so-called 0900 and 084 numbers. Whenever you call one of these, it is you who are paying a surcharge for the call. In the case of the 084 numbers, the charge may be relatively small, such as the cost of a local telephone call. But in the case of the 0900 numbers, the sky's the limit, with the per-minute rates you are charged being fixed by the whims and fantasy of the person or organization you call. Typical minute surcharge rates of between $1 and $4 are very common. But regardless of the rate charged, it's a moneymaker for the recipient of the call. The temptation to make money in this way has proved too much for many organizations who traditionally used to offer information and service by phone for free. We're not talking about personal consultants or special social services that live on giving advice, but individuals and institutions that are in the business of providing services you pay good money for anyway, such as cinemas and restaurants, and even television and radio stations, which use value-added numbers to charge listeners and viewers to participate in polls or quizzes. If you want to ask what's playing in many urban Swiss movie theaters, or if you want to reserve a ticket, it will cost you up to several francs to do so, just to phone them. And in so many cases, the format of the information provided is deliberately stretched to the limit to ensure the longest possible phone connection, i.e., the highest cost to you. One of the most hideous and unacceptable examples of value-added phone numbers and how they're promoted happened to my oldest daughter recently. She and my wife were planning a weekend in the French city of Lyon to do some sightseeing and shopping. My daughter went to the Swiss Federal Rail Station in the town of Biel, where she lives. She stepped up to the ticket window and asked the agent about the price of the fare to Lyon. The response was, "That's too complicated to figure out here. Call the 0900 information number." Outraged, I wrote a letter of protest to Swiss Federal Railways. I waited 3 weeks and no response. So I fired off a repeat of that complaint several days ago, saying I was still waiting. Still no response. Unfortunately, this is frequently what happens in Switzerland when an organization cannot handle a consumer complaint, because there is no rational reply possible. The reaction is, ignore it, and it will go away. I'm still waiting, and unfortunately, I doubt that I will ever get a reply in the end. The reason is very simple. Traditionally, Swiss business believes that it has all the rights, and the only right of the consumer is to pay. With notable exceptions, consumer protection is still a foreign concept in this country, and I sometimes wonder if it will ever take hold.
Da kunt die aufwuppen, kunt da vorreiten, kunt da Leben führen, als wir die Herren. Yettiriari, hu yettiriari, yettiriari, hu yettiriari, yettiriari, hu yettiriari.
Speaking of sound, not an awful lot of sound where we're located at the moment, at least on this particular day. We'll explain that later. But my good friend Aubrey Diem, retired Canadian professor of history and geography and a resident of Switzerland and not too far away from where we're located right now, is with me to talk about the world-famous Simplon Mountain Pass. We are in the upper portion, the German-speaking portion, of Canton, or the state of Valais, V-A-L-A-I-S, also known in German as Wallis, W-A-L-L-I-S. And where we're standing right now is at the top of the mountain pass at 2,005 meters of altitude, and that's getting pretty close to 7,000 feet of altitude. And the air is clear. We have a beautiful sunshiny day, although even though we're recording this in the month of May, towards the end of May, it's still crisp and cool, and it even gets below freezing here at this time of the year. 2,005 meters, and we're standing right in front of the famous landmark here, one of them anyway, the Simplon Hospice, which used to be a monastery, but was opened also as a hospice by the Augustinian monks in the year 1831 and has been open ever since. Aubrey, the Simplon Pass. This is one of Switzerland's most important and certainly famous mountain passes. And it has a long history going back to the Romans.
Yes, and even before the Romans, they know that the people, the Celts who lived on both sides of the Alps, they came over these places, and they even left they left bits and pieces of gold and various other things which have been discovered. But later, during the Middle Ages, it was very important for the movement of salt from the south to the
north. Salt was an important commodity. It was almost like gold, wasn't it?
Very, very important. And as well, textiles, particularly silk fabric, which came from the south and was headed for the north, even to Belgium, where a lot of it was made into fine clothing.
But even until the present day, it's one of the most important and used mountain passes linking Switzerland and Italy, just down on the other side. But we have another European figure of great renown who also was interested in the Simplon Pass, also for strategic reasons, not only commercial reasons, and his name was Napoleon.
Yes, Napoleon was here around the 1800s, and he brought part of his army over this pass, and the other part was going over the Grand San Bernard at the same time, and he discovered that this was a faster route than the Grand San Bernard route, and then they had big battles against the Austrians at Marengo in the Po Plain. And then he was in control of Switzerland at that time as well, and he was instrumental in paving this pass and making it more of a strategic pass than it even was before, and he was thinking mainly for military reasons.
And that was the early 19th century.
Yeah, 1800 before he invaded Russia, for example.
One of the local people, a man by the name of von Stockalper, who was a native of Brieg, and in fact a very, very wealthy man. There's even the so-called von Stockalper Palace down there, which was his residence. He made his money, among other things, on importing salt from Italy.
Well, he had his own private army. He assured the merchants that he was, in a way, he gave them insurance that their goods would come through if he carried them in transit. And that's what he did. And there was a hospice built by Stockalper on the pass to help people who were going through overnight. They could stay. And then, of course, this very beautiful and very important building in Brieg, which is really one of the biggest attractions in this part of Valais.
Now, just geographically, let's fix the location here, more or less where we are, north and south.
Well, the pass began at Brieg. You would come up the Rhone Valley from Lake Geneva, and you could go past Martigny, where the Grand San Bernard Pass went into Italy, and then continue. And at Brieg, you could go over the pass to Domodossola in Italy, and then to the south. And, of course, goods coming the other way could go both through Brieg and down the Rhone Valley and into northwestern Europe, or else they could go east over the Furka route, and that would take them into the eastern part of Switzerland and also into Austria.
Is it true that I've heard that the Simplon Pass U.S. in terms of traffic and importance is second only to the famous Gotthard?
Yes, and like the Gotthard, as with most of these mountain passes, a very important rail tunnel was built at the beginning of the 20th century, end of the 19th century. That's 17 kilometers long.
Over 10 miles.
Yeah, and today they have reinstituted the car trains, which carry cars. They had them at the beginning, then they stopped. Now it's part of the pass. And in addition to that, the new Basis Tunnel on the Lichtburg, which carries merchandise from Basel through the Lichtburg Tunnel and into Italy, will carry these trucks through the Simplon Tunnel and to Italy.
So we have not only the famous mountain pass, let's walk towards the hospice here and see if we can find someone to talk to inside, get a little bit more information about it. Not only the pass, but also, of course, the rail tunnel, and it is a rail tunnel, but really, this is such an easy pass to do. If people think of mountain passes as hairpin turns, twists and turns, not many of them here. It's one of the easiest of the Swiss Alpine passes to get over.
Also, it's kept open all winter long, except when it's really bad storms, they have to close it. But they built protection against avalanches, against rock falls, and therefore trucks, cars can go through all winter long, which, unlike the Grand San Bernard Pass, that's closed.
Yeah, that we've done that, of course, you and I, and it's featured on another part of the website here, under Places and Things. The Great St. Bernard, but this one, as you say, is open all year round. And here we are in the halls. We've come into the hospice, and not too much doing, because ironically, even though we're talking about the pass being open, there's some road construction on the Italian side, so you can't drive to Italy today. That's why it's so quiet.
The Italian side is not as good as the Swiss side, and they're making it better, and of course that involves all kinds of blasting and all kinds of heavy equipment, so they've just closed the pass.
Yeah, and occasionally in bad weather, they do get landslides and rock slides there. Well, here it is. We're the only thing that's open here that I can see is the bar with a little cafe and restaurant inside. And let's go in and. Joseph Maintenant, bonjour. Hello. I hear some activity in the kitchen in the back. Ah, and someone is coming out. Hello, do you speak English?
Yes, a little bit.
Okay, what is your name?
My name is Thomas Branchen.
And you're a local of the Simplon area?
Yes, not really from the Simplon. My place of origin is St. Niklaus.
Well, which is close to Zermatt, of course.
Yes, in the valley of Zermatt.
What is it like to live up here and work up here on the pass? Does it get lonely sometimes?
No, not at all. For me, it's very, very good because I like the mountains and I like the calm and I like prayer.
To pray,
yes.
Are you a monk yourself?
No, I'm not. I'm just attached to the religion.
Yes, it's certainly a wonderful place to meditate, to find peace and quiet.
Yes, of course.
And you're closer to God up here, too, at 2,005 meters.
Really, indeed, yes.
Who comes here to stay at the hospice?
It's very different. There are alpinists. We had alpinists mainly the months of March and April. And then during summer we have families who comes with their children to make holidays here. And
picnicking, hiking, this sort of thing, walking?
Yes, every kind of sport.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's a beautiful place to walk and to hike, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And during winter we have also very often classes from the college, from Saint-Maurice or from Sion.
The religious courses?
Yes, and they mix a bit with religion and sport. Mm-hmm. They make half-day sport and half-day meditations.
You also have a bar and a small restaurant here. I see there are two men who are eating. Is this open to the public?
if they are announced, they can come. But if they are not announced, if there is something to eat, they can have it. But we do not especially make for them.
You can't guarantee it.
Yes.
But of course, if anyone wants to eat up here at the pass, there are other restaurants along the way.
Yes, of course. Yes.
Now, this was a monastery and a hospice dating back to 1831. And it was founded by Augustinian monks. Are they still in presence here? Are they still in residence?
Yes, of course. They are still keeping the house. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there are only two, or between two and five, six, they are always here.
Well, thank you very much, Thomas. And it was very fascinating to find out this information. Thank you indeed.
Thank you.
We're going to go outside again. Yes. Aubrey, let's go back outside and leave these nice people to enjoy their lunch. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Au revoir. Guten Appetit. Guten Appetit. Okay, you're not quite sure what to speak here, because I believe those were French speaking
French Swiss.
Yeah.
Oh.
You were speaking High German with them.
To them well.
Now you see, everybody speaks everything. In fact, even up here on the Simplon Pass, you can come in and speak English even. But this place really, it's very quiet today, because it's really between seasons. It's neither fish nor fowl season, you know. It's we still see some snow around us here, of course.
Yeah. There's high mountain touring now. He even mentioned that
ski
before, and that they can do now, but there's no piste skiing.
Let's go back into history again, Aubrey, because as we come out, something very conspicuous, in fact, you can see it very, very clearly from the road if we walk out into the large parking area here right in front of the hospice, and also a little pond, which is so beautiful. And this is rugged. This is unspoiled nature here. You know, there's a minimum of development. It's really very, pure nature.
Very minimalistic. Yeah. As far as development is concerned.
Now, let's stop here because I don't know how high it is, but it looks to me probably something like maybe 30 or 40 feet high.
Yeah.
It's a gigantic... I've been up there once years ago.
Yeah,
it's an eagle. It's an eagle built of stone.
There's some people there now.
Yeah.
So you get a little bit of a scale.
Yeah.
But that's very interesting.
Yeah. Now, what is the symbolism of that? That eagle is looking south, and that's for a very good reason. We go back to the Second World War.
Well, of course, Switzerland was neutral in the Second World War, and it was surrounded by...
But it was armed.
It was surrounded by either occupied countries by the Nazis or else by the Italians, who were fascist and allies of the Nazis.
And, of course, there was a military presence up here, a very, very strong one. In fact, in these mountains here, tucked away and probably not even officially declassified yet, are probably a number of bunkers and fortifications. And this gigantic stone eagle looking south, obviously is a good reason looking south, that's where the enemy would come from, of course, if he was going to come, was built by some of those veterans who were stationed up here. And that must have been a pretty rough time. Winters are very difficult here, of course, and I can imagine that it was not exactly a popular posting.
Well, not only that, but at all seasons there were people being smuggled over from the south, from Italy into Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
And of course sometimes they would be intercepted by the border guards, and sometimes they wouldn't be intercepted by the border guards. Mm-hmm. And they have their tales to tell too, because they were stuck in weather that suddenly changed into very difficult conditions, and they were not accustomed, of course, to going over the mountains, their clothing, their boots, and so on.
And of course there were no spy satellites. There was nothing like this, so they didn't know what was coming.
Exactly.
And they really had to be watching the south from Italy, occupied Italy. And of course, one of your favorite topics too, Aubrey, you've written extensively about this, and that is the resistance movement on the Italian side. That must have been a beehive of activity around here.
Well, all these valleys, for example, the valley which the Simplon Pass goes down to, the Domodossola area, there was resistance there, as there was in the Grand San Bernard Valley, and that came at a very early stage in the war, in the sense that Italy was out of the war in 1943. Then there was a period where nothing much happened. And then the last couple of years, 44 and then 45, were filled with resistance from the partisans who had organized themselves in northern Italy against the Nazis.
Now, we said before that the Simplon Pass technically gets started already in Brieg. That's where you access it. Oh, here comes a big Swiss postal bus here. Some people coming by to take a break at the hospice, or they're picking up passengers here, and there are no passengers to pick up, it seems to me, not today anyway. But on the other end of the pass, let's call it the Italian side, although the pass does not actually stretch into Italy, it comes to about 1 mile or so, or a mile or so from Italy, and that's the village of Gondo. There was a terrible disaster there a few years ago.
It was due to very heavy rains, which flooded the whole northern part of Italy. And Gondo is just a customs post, and it rises straight up from the customs post into the mountains, and that's where the buildings were. And one part of the mountain just tore loose because of all of the rain. And I don't know how many people were killed, but it was a goodly number who were just swept to their death from this rockfall.
And one or two were still missing. And I have to tell you, I went through Gondo the day before it happened. So timing is everything.
Your guardian angel's taking care of you. That's the only way to explain it.
I guess so. And it's funny, in Gondo, G-O-N-D-O, it's a very Italian-sounding name, and probably somewhere in distant history it belonged to Italy or was populated by Italians. And you're very likely to hear as much Italian spoken there in that tiny village as you will German or Swiss-German dialect. In fact, a lot of people stop there for gasoline before going into Italy, where it's much more expensive. And the people who run the gas stations there all speak Italian. It's an interesting part of the world here indeed.
Well, like many parts of Switzerland which are unknown to the tourist trade, there are these little gems of history, and as we have seen, that little gem of history way down in the south, I mean, it's not near the pass summit. It was an area that was completely devastated, and I'm sure plenty of Swiss didn't even know about it, but because of these terrific rains which swept that area, and in the mountains, the rocks are always coming down as far as they can go, and that's just the way, the normal erosion of the mountains.
Aubrey Diem, retired Canadian professor of history and geography. Thank you very much indeed. From the top of the Simplon Pass at 2,005 meters above sea level, and standing right in front of the historic Simplon Hospice, for Switzerland in Sound, this is Bob Zanotti.
If you want more information about Switzerland in Sound, check them out online at www.switzerlandinsound.com.
Hi, this is Bob Zanotti. Do you miss Swiss Radio International? If so, I invite you to visit my website, SwitzerlandInSound.com. Colorful and informative radio features about Switzerland, its destinations, interesting people, politics, culture, and even the two Bobs, SwitzerlandInSound.com, where English language radio from Switzerland lives on. We'll be right back.